Welcome to Courage Up with Pastor Emmanuel Johnson, the lead pastor, Courage Spring Impact Center.
First Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and he stopped, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." We read 26 and the last. "For as often as ye eat this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes. For as often as you do this, you are invoking my death. For as often as you do this, you are entering into a fresh covenant with my death. Keep doing it until I come." It's a known scripture, but I need your attention. Just less than 10 minutes, I'll be done. Paul was talking to the Corinthian brethren. He said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you." And he began to talk of the Lord Jesus. How the same night when he was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, and gave to them, and said, "Eat, it is my body." And also took blood, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, drink, this is my blood." And he said, "Do it often in remembrance of me." But verse 26 shook me. He said, "For as often as you do this, you make the Lord's dead fresh again. But don't stop doing it until he comes. For as often as you take communion, you bring back the same scenario that happened in the cross to come to play again. You revive the sacrifice of the Son of God. You revive the sacrifice of the divinity. You bring back all that happened that came to play at Calvary." Are you following me at all? And then he said to them, "Don't stop doing this. Don't stop bringing to memory the death of Jesus until he comes back." Why did Paul tell the church not to stop doing that until he comes? One of the power generators of the church of Jesus is the blood of Jesus. One of the source of the power of the church is in the blood of the Son of God, who gave his life that his blood might lay foundation for a new generation of people called Christians. We are not Christians because we saw Jesus, but we are Christians because we believe that there was a man who came to this world, and he was not an ordinary man. He was a son of the living God, who was God himself, who walked through this earth and knew the pains of men, and decided to go to the cross, to die on the cross, that he might take the sin of men away. And when he died in my place. So we believe in the work he did, and because we believe, we are Christians. So what are the benefits of the Holy Communion? There are several, but I will just share two because of time. What are the benefits of the Holy Communion? Why would he say we should keep doing this until he comes? What's the purpose? Of what use is it? Number one, for the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. For what? Read that again. No man can judge you for anything you ever did wrong after taking the communion. Listen to me. I have told you I am your pastor, and I'm going to be dedicated to teaching you the truth. Look at me, everybody. If you know that anybody had taken your name to any shrine, or they are sentencing you for anything, and they are planning to terminate your life anywhere by judging you, prepare the communion. Read this scripture. Just two scriptures is enough. Number one, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, what will happen? You shall condemn. So Lord, they have gone to that shrine to judge me, to destroy me, to fight my business, to stop my finances. This is what your word said, that no matter the weapon they formed against me, it will not prosper. And that every tongue that rises up against me to judge me, that I have the power to condemn. In fact, the next verse says, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their reward is of me. So their righteousness is of me. That's what it means. So it is not my righteousness, it is his righteousness that gives me this heritage to judge and to condemn every tongue that rises up against me in judgment. When you have quoted that scripture, you can come back to Matthew 26:28. And said, you gave me your blood as a token for my sins to be wiped off. I may have been guilty, but no man has the right to judge me, because your blood says that my sins have been remitted. And then take the communion and declare yourself innocent. I don't know whether you're listening. In the Old Testament, let me tell you, you know, when we read the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament is a type of what happens in the New. So when you hear typology, it is these things happen in the New, in the Old, but it was a shadow of the reality that was to happen. If somebody sinned, and that person is to be killed or to be destroyed, for that person not to die, that person will need to look for a ram or any cattle that the priest would have asked him to bring, and bring it to the altar. And the priest will ask him to put his two hands there. So he will put his two hands on the head of the animal, and he will confess his sins. I did this. I did that. I did this. I did that. And by the things I did, I know I am worthy to die. But today, I put my sins on the head of this animal. After he finished saying that, he will shift away, and the priest will slaughter that animal, and they will put it on the altar and make some incantations or invocations. Permit me to use those words. All of a sudden, fire will come and consume the sacrifice. It means God had taken the sacrifice. The man goes innocent automatically. No matter the offense of that man, he is considered innocent. Even if he killed somebody and was able to run in with that animal and confess that sin, he cannot die again. Why? The animal has taken his sin. As the blood of the animal splashes on the altar, his sins are taken off. Hear me, child of God. From the day Jesus went to Calvary, he chose to be like the sheep to the slaughter. he should have defended himself. He said, I would have asked the Father, and 12,000 angels would have come to set me free. But he chose to die so that no man can judge you. He says in Colossians chapter 2, he said, from this day, let no man judge you. He said, after he has spoiled principalities and powers, he made an open show of death, triumphing over them in the cross. And then he ended by saying, let no man therefore judge you. So the death of Jesus on the cross set us free from every form of judgment. It was for the remission of your sin. The blood of Jesus was not for the righteous. Was it for the righteous? So was it dying for the righteous or for the unrighteous? For the righteous. For the unrighteous. Who are the unrighteous? Who? The armed robbers, the prostitutes, the kidnappers, the liars, the gossipers, the cheats, the wicked husbands and evil wives, the troublesome church members. Jesus died not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. And the Bible said, by his blood, we. So every time Paul said, do this in remembrance of him till he returns. So every time you do that, there's a wiping away. Wiping away of judgment. Wiping away of ordinances. Like we're going to take it here tonight. Shrines are going to lose their customers. Yes, altars are going to lose effect. Why? Because the blood speaks better things. Every blood has a voice. Every blood has a voice. Some speaks vengeance. Some speaks revenge. Some speaks poverty. Some speaks wealth. Are you following? That's why when Jesus died, the Bible said, for God so loved, look at the way it followed. For God so loved the world, then he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed, whosoever loved him, will not perish but have eternal life. So, Jesus loved us, and then died for us. If we love him sincerely, his blood works for us. Are you following at all? So you don't need blood money. Because this is an ordinary human blood, mortal. But this other one is a divinity that died. All you need to do is love him passionately. Love him with your time. Love him to be sincere with your wealth. Love him with your resources. Love him with your mind. Love him with everything in you. Love him to go out for evangelism. Love him to be committed to anything that has to do with him. When you love God so much, his blood speaks wealth over you. Yes. I've even spoken the second point, benefits of the blood. Number one, it wipes away sin so that no man can judge you. No man can condemn you. No mortal or spirit, because of the communion table, can judge you. Number two, it speaks wealth. You can't be a Christian faithful in what you're doing and poor. Why? There is a blood that speaks better things. That's what the Bible says. He said, every time the voice of the blood speaks, what it speaks is what? Better things. So every time you pray, at a point you don't know what to pray again, plead the blood over your life. Plead the blood over your health. Plead the blood over your finances. The blood does not speak and speak differently from better things. Instead of you start saying, I'm not guilty, or I'm guilty, or I'm innocent, or I'm not innocent, or my father did this, or my father did not, all you need to do is, my Lord, I plead the blood. When you plead the blood, what you are telling the judge is, I don't have a voice to speak in my defense. But look at the blood. Everything you need for my judgment is there. And when the judge looks at the blood, and when the accuser looks at the blood, and when the devil that was also sitting as an enemy waiting to destroy looks at the blood, all they see is what Jesus did. Wiping off your sins. Wiping off your reproach. So they say he may have sinned, but somebody have paid for him. He may have sinned, but somebody have already died for this case. He may have sinned, but somebody have already carried the penalty for this. So he can't carry it again. That's why Paul said, I bear on my body the marks of the cross. So every time you look at me, nothing can make you judge me. Because you keep seeing what Jesus did. So when the devil looks at you, I said, I'm going to mess up your family. He said, you are cursed because you didn't do this. He said, because you did that to me, I have placed a curse against you. Every time we run to Jesus and said, Father, I am sorry. Let the blood speak for me. The handwriting of the ordinances is taken off. It takes me to number 3 point. I might not be able to talk more about it. It invokes a new writing. Or you can use the word a new covenant in your favor. I think it's already too many points for the night, right? I shouldn't do too many points. Every time you plead the blood, there's an invocation going on. So you want to pray for your health. You don't know what to pray. Lord, I plead the blood. Why? I might not know what I did wrong that may have brought this health challenge. But Lord, instead of beginning to say, I didn't do anything wrong or I did anything wrong, look at the blood and show me mercy. And every time the Father looks at the blood, all he sees is his son crying, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabbatani. Like the Bible said, that time the Father could not look at the Son again because the sin of the whole world was on him. And the Holy God could not behold sin. So for a second, he turned his face away from his Son. And just for that second, he turned his face away from his Son. The Son felt the pains of death in reality. And he screamed. He saw the Father looking away from him. He screamed, why have you forsaken me? This is not the bargain we had in heaven before I came down. He could take that. He could allow that. Because of you and I that was to come many years after. The Father would have taken that sin away and rescued his Son. But he removed his eyes. I can't behold iniquity. And the Son paid for his second. And he drained him for a second. The Bible said after a while, he gave up the ghost. Why? He drained him at that moment that he couldn't stand again. And when that happened, every time you speak, plead the blood, you are invoking the handwriting. You're invoking a new writing, which is a new testament. Look at Luke 22:20. I end there. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. I might not have time to talk about that. The word testament in the Greek is the same word like covenant. And it's the same word like writing. It's the same thing like will. So he's saying this is a new will in my blood. He's saying this is a new writing in my blood. He said this is a new covenant in my blood. Let me explain. When a man dies, his lawyer will come and bring a book. Am I right? And call the children. Call the head. He said, okay, your father get 50 million in social account. 300 million in so-so account. 500 million in so-so account. And he said, I shall will this to so-so child. Will this to so-so child. Will this to so-so heir. They are all heirs. They are children that might not be an heir. Who is a heir? An heir is a person who is going to benefit from the what? Those things the father wrote down is not active. If the father does not die, none of the child can walk into the father's estate and say, this is mine from now. If the father sues that child, even though he has written down that will and will that estate to that child, if he sues that child will go to jail. So what did Jesus say here? He said, this blood gives you right. He said, it is a new covenant in my blood. It is what gives you the right to everything written in my will. And the will of God is the word of God. So everything you see that God said you can get here, by the power of the blood you can get. Why? The attestator have died. The owner of the property is no more alive. He has died. And then he told us, this is a new writing. So there might be other things that were written against you. There might have been other covenants that have been working against you. From the day you acknowledge me as your Lord and Savior, a new writing works for you. A new covenant works for you. A new law works for you. Beloved of God, I don't know what has been an issue, but I've been able to give us three or four points of the benefits of this communion table. And as you're coming to take it, I want you to take it in faith. I want you to take it believing that anything can be handled on this altar. Anything can be handled. Lord, let there be testimonies. Let your break. Let the force of darkness come to an end. Let the powers of hell be brought down. Let altars keep quiet. Let shrines scatter. Let sanctum be destroyed. Let the ordinances that were contrary and against your people be wiped off. The Bible said the blood speaks better things. Lord, let there be speakings. Speak better things, Lord. Dedicate this to you, Abba Father. I breathe on it and let it be your spirit. Walk through it. Open ears, open eyes, open womb, open doors, financial doors, all kinds of doors. Speak better things. End every form of captivity. Was it not you, as a type in Egypt, that ended the captivity of the people of Israel? Jehovah ended again. End captivity. In Jesus' name. That day, when he had taken the bread, he broke it. And he said, this is my body. It is broken for you. Take it always, remembering what I did for you on the cross. Pastor, please come. Take up his body. The same vein, he took the cup. And after he had given thanks, he said, this is a new testament in my blood. I don't know what was written against you. A new writing will emerge. The old writing will be wiped off. All you need to do is connect your faith to it. He said, take it always in remembrance of me. And then believe God that there is nothing God cannot do. Take it. Take just one of the body. Take one of the blood. Get back to your seat. Trust the Lord in prayers. Let your blood speak for me. The Bible said your blood speaks better things. Let your blood speak for me. Let your blood speak for me. I do not have my own voice to speak. I do not have strength to fight. But there is nothing too hard for you. Don't just stay and keep quiet. Pray. Let the blow speak. Let the blow speak. Let the blow speak. Let the blow speak. Lord, let your blow speak for us. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to that impactful word of God by Pastor Emergency, lead pastor, Carries Spring Impact Center. Worship with us on Sundays, 2 power pack services, 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. Wednesdays, Word Alive, 5 p.m. Counseling, Saturdays, 10 a.m. Venue, Carries Spring Impact Center Auditorium, Trans Woji Road by Obatai Junction, Woji, Port Harcourt, River State. For inquiries, call 0815-952-5812. Once more, 0815-952-5812.